Just now, we have discussed 14 unwholesome factors. How does 14 unwholesome factors work together, and how they perform their specific functions in order to help consciousness in the act of cognition? I will give you an example. Suppose in the process of eating, I like to take process of eating because you take 3 meals a day. So you spend a lot of time enjoying your food, but not knowing you are accumulating a lot of bad karmas. Okay, so now in the process of eating, I think most of us will enjoy the food. So if you are enjoying the food, the consciousness rooted in greed will arise at the jhavana stage, 7 jhavana, 7 j. So during process of eating, after tongue door cognitive process, followed by mind door cognitive process, because only mind door knows whether good or bad. So at that time, during the process of eating, there are 20 mental formations. One consciousness plus 19 mental factors, accompanied by joy. If you eat with happiness, then it's accompanied by joy. But sometimes you may eat with equanimity. And associated with wrong view, unprompted, spontaneously. Mean you eat, you enjoy your food spontaneously, without inducement by others. Under such situation, there are 20 mental formations. Number one is consciousness. We have studied 12 types of unwholesome consciousness. 8 rooted in greed. So among this one of the consciousness rooted in greed, accompanied by joy, associated with wrong view and unprompted. And number two, contact. Contact is mental factor. Contact. Number three, feeling, perception, volition, one-pointedness, life faculty, and attention. These 7 are called 7 universes. And I have already explained to you how they perform their specific function during yesterday's talk. The next one, initial application of mind. How it works. Initial application of mind, placing the associated mental factors to the taste. And the sustained application of mind, exercise or sustain the associated mental factors on the taste, or continue examining the taste again and again. This is called a sustained application of mind. And the next decision, the mental factor of decision decides. This is a sweet taste, good taste, sweet taste. The mental factor of energy supports the associated mental factors so they will not collapse or retreat, especially helping greed to arise. A mental factor of joy keeps a joyful interest in the taste. Mental factor of desire is the desire to get the taste or to let greed arise. So these 6 are called 6 occasionals. At this time, the 6 must 6 arise together with consciousness rooted in greed. And the next, delusion, shamelessness, fearlessness, and restlessness. These 4 are unwholesome mental factor universal. So it must arise with all unwholesome consciousness. The mental factor of delusion conceals the true nature of the taste, which is impermanent, dukkha, and impure in nature. Impure. The food is impure in nature. Instead, because of delusion, instead of seeing the taste as permanent, satisfactory, and pure. And the mental factor of shamelessness is the lake of shame for the arising of greed while enjoying the taste. You do not feel shameful when you are enjoying your taste. At that time, because of a greed, you don't want to let go, but at that time you do not feel shameful. Only you yourself know, nobody know. And the mental factor of fearlessness of wrongdoing means not being afraid of the consequences of the arising of greed while enjoying the taste. This is the function it performs. The mental factor of restlessness makes the mind disquiet and distracted, not composed while enjoying the taste. Okay, now another one is greed, because you are enjoying your taste. So the greed must accompany it in this type of consciousness. In this case, the mental factor of greed, which keeps enjoying the taste, grasping on to the taste, not wanting to give up. If you feel the taste is very good, you will not stop. You will continue eating. This is greed. Don't want to give up. And the mental factor of wrong view, in this case there is also wrong view, interprets wrongly, or wrongly believe that food is pure. Actually, food is impure. For example, when you chew and you bite, before you swallow, you spit out. Is it pure or impure? Why no answer? Pure or impure? Impure. So, but wrong view, interpret it, the food is pure. So at this moment, while you are enjoying with food, there are 20 mental formations arise in the jhavana stage. In a snap of finger, billions of consciousness arise and pass away. Suppose you enjoying your taste for 20 minutes. So how many billions of uncountable billions of consciousness rooted in greed arise in your mental stream and leave behind unwholesome karmic force. When this karmic force ripens, it produces its result. You will become a person has a lot of attachment to the food, crave for food, and so on. So now you should be able to understand during your eating process what is happening in your mind. So the knowledge of Abhidhamma helped you to understand yourself better. But sometimes if you eat your food with equanimity, not with joy, then you exclude the joy. Number 13, you exclude the joy. Then only 18 mental factors, plus one consciousness rooted in greed. And sometimes it's a prompted consciousness. Now it's unprompted. You enjoy it spontaneously. But sometimes you don't want to eat, but you urge by your wife. No, my cooking is very good. Try, chew properly, then the taste will come, then you will enjoy it. So after prompted by your wife, you start to enjoy. This type of consciousness is called, not unprompted, called prompted. After inducement by another. And if it's prompted consciousness, you have to add slow and topper. You add slow and topper, another two mental factors. Okay. Now suppose you crave for a certain type, because once you taste this type of food, so you make you perceive the quality of the taste. So you remember that taste. But second time when you eat, the taste change. It's not what you want. Then how's your mind react? How's your mind react? You will become angry. This is not a taste I want. I don't know how you cook. So it's not a taste you want, the mind become angry again. At that time, they are 18 mental formations rooted in hatred. One consciousness rooted in hatred plus 17 mental factors. If it is rooted in hatred, the accompanied feeling must be displeasure, cannot be joy, or cannot be equanimity. Is it true? Okay. Then associated with aversion, it cannot be associated with wrong view. Wrong view is rooted in greed. Now it's hatred. So it's not associated with wrong view and unprompted. So there are 18 mental formations. What are the 18? Let us read together. Consciousness, contact, feeling, perception, volition, one-pointedness, life faculty, attention, initial application of mind, sustained application of mind, decision, energy, desire, delusion, shamelessness, restlessness, wrongdoing, restlessness, hatred or aversion. So they are 18. Whenever you get angry, these 18 are present in your mind. And it leaves behind unwholesome karmic force in your mental stream. Whenever this unwholesome karmic force ripen, it will bear its result. And this 18 only happen at the jhana stage, because only at jhana stage, karmas are accumulated and strengthened. I don't have time to explain to you one by one again how contact perform its function. That's why previously I have already taught to you the characteristic of contact, the function of contact, the manifestation of contact. You should be able to interpret yourself. So here there are 6 occasional, but now only 5. Which one is excluded? We have 7 universes must arise with all unwholesome consciousness, must arise with all consciousness, and 6 occasionals, but now only 5 occasionals. Which one is excluded? Why? Yes, because when you get angry, the feeling is accompanied by this pressure, so the joy must be excluded. Now suppose you have doubt. Now you are doubting about what I say. Now I have said so many things, but you do not believe. So at this moment, 16 consciousness rooted in delusion, associated with doubt, arise in your mind. At this moment, there are 16 mental formations. One consciousness plus 15 mental factors arise in the jhana stage. So what are the 16 mental formations? Consciousness, contact, feeling, perception, volition, one-pointedness, life faculty, initial application of mind, sustained application of mind, energy, delusion, shamelessness, fearlessness of wrongdoing, restlessness, and doubt. What is this consciousness? We have studied 89 consciousness. So this consciousness is what consciousness? You must tell me. Then if not, I don't know whether you understand or not. We have two types of consciousness rooted in delusion. One is accompanied with doubt. Another one accompanied with restlessness. So here, number one, consciousness is the consciousness rooted in delusion, associated with doubt. That type of consciousness. Okay? And number two to number eight are 7 universes. And
We have six occasionals, but in this case, only three are there. So which three are excluded?
Joy.
Okay. Why joy is excluded? Because this consciousness is accompanied by equanimity. Equanimity. Thus, joy is excluded. Another one?
Desire.
Desire. Why desire is excluded? Because desire means desire to act, to achieve a purpose. So the consciousness rooted in delusion are so dense that they exclude purposeful action. That's why desire is excluded. Another one? Decision. When you are doubting, you cannot make decision. That's why decision is excluded. Thus, the six occasional cannot arise with all consciousness. Only arise with certain type of consciousness. It's different from the seven universes. The seven universes must arise with all type of consciousness. Is it clear to you? Okay. And another four delusion, shamelessness, fearlessness, and restlessness. These four are called unwholesome universes. That's why they must be pleasant all the time. If the consciousness is unwholesome. The next one, suppose now you are listening, although you are listening to my talk, but your mind is so restless. If your mind is very restless, there are 16 mental formations arise in your mind at the jhana stage. What are the 16? Number one, consciousness, contact, feeling, perception, volition, one-pointedness, life faculty, attention, initial application of mind, sustained application of mind, decision, energy, delusion, shamelessness of wrongdoing, fearlessness of wrongdoing, restlessness. Okay, what is this consciousness? What is this consciousness? Consciousness rooted in delusion associated with restlessness. This type of consciousness. And among the six occasional, two are excluded. What are the two? Joy and desire. Yes, because this type consciousness rooted in delusion must accompanied by equanimity. So joy cannot arise. And consciousness associated with restlessness has no desire. So these two are excluded. So now I think you understand your mind better. Whenever the consciousness rooted in greed arises in you, you know how many mental formations are there. When the consciousness rooted in anger arises in you, you understand your mental state at that moment. When you are restless, you understand your mental state. So among all these unwholesome mental factors, when unwholesome consciousness arises, you accumulate unwholesome karma. This is true. That leave behind unwholesome karmic force. So among all the mental factors, which one is karma? Which one is karma? Wow, you have to take so long time to think. Which one is karma? Volition. We have already mentioned yesterday. The Buddha say, "Oh, bhikkhu, volition means karma." So volitions. So now, another 25 beautiful factors. I think I should stop here. Any question? Yes. Wait.
Use the mic. The question is, the last two consciousness that Xiaolei was talking about, one rooted in restlessness, another one rooted in doubt. There's a difference in that the restlessness there is decision, whereas in doubt there isn't decision. So generally, why is
when you are doubting, what is the function, the characteristic of doubt? Perplexity. Perplexity cannot make decision. So because it cannot make decision, so the decision is not there. Restlessness is this decision, because it's not doubting. When your mind is restless, you are not doubting. It's just restless only. So there's a decision. Decision to act. Decision to... You are thinking of something. There's a decision there. But when you are doubting, there's no decision. Because doubt is opposite with decision. So the decision cannot accompany it with doubt. But restless, there's decision. Very slight. The mental factors accompanied with what type, with every type of consciousness, sometimes it can be very strong or it can be very slight. For example, even restlessness, there's one-pointedness. One-pointedness, when it developed, it becomes concentration. When in the jhana, this one-pointedness becomes concentration. So it already developed. But in this restless consciousness, the decision is very slight only. Yes, very slight, very low type of decision. Okay? Any other question? Yes.
You're saying that when you're eating, there's a lot of attachment to the food and the karma is generated from that. So what happens when you're eating and reading at the same time?
Just repeat the question for everybody. Yes. When we eat, there is a lot of attachment and karma associated with it. So what happens when we eat and read at the same time?
So if you read with knowledge, then at that time you accumulate good karma. But sometimes your mind will go to the taste. Then you accumulate unwholesome karma. It depends on your mind go to which place. If your mind go to a reading, then you understand well, then at that time it's good, wholesome karma. But a mind cannot be always on the book. Sometimes it goes to a taste. Then at that time you accumulate bad karma. Yes?
How do you avoid bad karma while reading?
Interesting question. How do we avoid bad karma when we are eating?
Okay, you should eat with mindfulness. Eat with mindfulness and contemplation. For example, if you practice four elements meditation, so when you eat the food, so when you chew the time, sometimes you feel hardness. The food is hard, sometimes it's soft. Sometimes the saliva comes, sometimes you feel soft, smoother of the food. So you contemplate hardness, smoothness, flowing. Sometimes you feel hot of the food. Then you contemplate heat. Sometimes the food is cold, then you contemplate cold. So at that time, you cannot attach to the food. You have no time to attach to the food because your mind is so busy. Hot, heat, cold, flowing. At that time, this is the way to avoid accumulate unwholesome karma during eating. Yes, of course. And that's why for monks and nuns, we should contemplate before we eat. We take this food not for enjoyment, not for taste, not for craving, not for beautifying, but to sustain this body. You also can contemplate. Taking this food is to sustain this body so that you can practice the spiritual life. This way of contemplation.
Question is from that. How do we advise our wife
how do we advise our wife to encourage us to enjoy food?
You should. Today you have. Okay. Is your wife here? You should go back and tell her. If you ask me enjoy the food, you ask me to accumulate unwholesome karma. So, never mind, if she asks you to eat, but you eat with mindfulness. You eat with mindfulness, but you also have to share with her, don't enjoy too much, indulge in food.
This eating with mindfulness, in theory, those things that you list out, mentor, are you tackling it at the volition level, or feelings level, or perception, or is it all over the place?
All over the place. All over the place. But volition means karma. At that time, volition is very strong. But that volition is rooted, is accompanied with greed. No, sometimes if no greed that accompany, that volition will not accumulate karma. Only when it accompanied with greed or hatred, and that volition accumulate karma.
What is the effect of this bad karma?
You will become a person who crave for food very much. Without good food, you cannot survive. No, it's one of the effect. As I have said yesterday, how karma works, that is not beyond my comprehension. That's Buddha's knowledge. But one of the effect that you will become a person who crave very much for the food.
For a patient undergoing blood transfusion, is there any karma generated?
For a patient undergoing blood transfusion, is there karma generated?
How blood transfusion?
They transfuse either red blood cells or certain types of blood cells into the body.
From others?
From others, like anemia or other illnesses.
Is any karma involved?
Is there any karma involved?
No. I don't think so.
So we can have a drip for...
Drip of what? So you want to put the food in the mouth, so it's just drip. I think it's not a absolute way of tackling the problem. You know, you just eat with mindfulness. Train yourself, eat with mindfulness. Because you have to eat every day, so you have to train yourself. Every day.
How does that seven Javanese state come about? How sure we are that seven state there? Is it an experience?
How did the seven Javanas come about? Yeah. And
in the top moment.
In the top moment.
Yeah.
And.
How sure we are? How do we experience?
How do we experience the Javanas?
Have you attended my first lecture previously? No. It may take me very long to explain. Okay, before that, when you eat something, the first tongue-door cognitive process. The tongue-door cognitive process must arise in order to take this taste as object. After tongue-door cognitive process, many mind-door cognitive process. The mind-door cognitive process, the first one is vibrating bhavanga, arresting bhavanga, mind-door averting consciousness, followed by seven javana. This seven javana knows the taste. Not only tongue knows the taste, the mind also knows the taste. So this mind, seven javana, knows the taste. This seven javana, or this mind-door cognitive process will run many times, billions of times. When you are eating, this process will run again. So among the seven jhanas, we have said there are 20 mental formation there. There are 20 mental formation there, and each one perform its own function in each jhana. And this process will go on again and again. So among this 20, which one enjoy the taste? Feeling. Feeling enjoy the taste. So each one performs its own function to complete the task. This is the short way I can answer you. But if you, for example, if you enjoy the taste for 5 minutes, so the consciousness rooted in consciousness arise millions time within the 5 minutes. But after that you remember, I should not enjoy. I have learned Abhidhamma. It's not good. So you quickly change your mental state. Then you start to contemplate a hot, cold heat flowing here and there. Then, and this consciousness will stop. This consciousness rooted in greed will stop. Instead, it changed to another type of mental formation. There's 34 mental formation. I will deal with this in my future, in my following lecture. Okay, so you can change. So if you have mindfulness, you can change unwholesome mental state to a wholesome mental state. This type of is not fixed. Javana is not fixed. If you have effort and mindfulness, you can change very fast. One of my teacher, one of my teachers, sometimes he get very angry. He get very angry with certain people. One of my teacher doesn't mean Pao Xia Rong. So one of my teacher, he gets very angry. But any visitor comes in, he can change his anger very quickly. Now he can smile very quick. For me, I cannot. I must wait until a few seconds only I can smile. But he can do very quick because he understands. If he understands, if he keeps on angry, he himself accumulated. He himself accumulating unwholesome karma. So he exercised the mastery of mind and changed the unwholesome mental state to wholesomeness. That you can do it. You have to train. Okay? So last question? No. Okay, if no, we stop here.